This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. With the first case of coronavirus now confirmed in Alaska, how to contain the disease is top priority for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. The native corporation serves about 58 communities, all of which are off the road system. KYUK's Christy Schellenberger has more.
YKHC Chief of Staff Ellen Hodges says COVID-19 will reach the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, so they're doing everything they can right now to make sure the cases are spread out over a longer period of time instead of clustering together and overwhelming the regional hospital and village clinics. It's called flattening the curve.
One of the things that I really actually like that's going on right now is that there's a really big proactive push in the state of Alaska to cancel large gatherings, to postpone things, to limit the social gatherings of people to try to flatten the curve so that we don't have everybody showing up at once.
Hospitals in Seattle, Washington, and Italy have been stressed by COVID-19 cases. Hodges says they are trying to prevent that from happening here. Hodges says YKHC is on calls almost daily with state officials and keeping up with the swiftly changing guidelines from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. YKHC has partnered with a private lab out of state that will allow them to send samples to be tested. YKHC will test anyone who has COVID-19 symptoms after traveling outside of Alaska.
So that's probably the most important thing, I think, in an outbreak setting like this.
But it does take about 5 days for test results to come back. So if someone does exhibit those symptoms, a fever, cough, and shortness of breath, YKHC and health aides in villages will require that person to quarantine themselves at home until they get the results. YKHC is training health aides to take samples in villages, and from there, Hodges says they will work closely with the state.
Generally speaking, any person who's mildly ill, and we do believe 80% of our patients who will be infected will be mildly ill, those patients will probably be self-quarantined. If they're critically ill, we'll transport them to Anchorage per our usual transport guidelines, with the exception of course, we would notify the receiving facility that we have a suspected patient, and we would also notify our transport team so that they could use isolation precautions for that patient.
YKHC has set up a nurse triage line for Bethel residents. The corporation will turn people away from the hospital if they don't have an appointment. Hodges says that's to keep healthy people from getting sick. She says people need to call ahead if they are exhibiting COVID-19 symptoms like a fever and dry cough.
Don't walk in. We'd really like people to call. One of the most important infection control methods of this is to keep people out of healthcare settings until they have a mask on.
But if someone does show up to the hospital without calling with those symptoms, Hodges says they will put a mask on the person and place them in a private room for testing. YKHC has several rooms set up to allow them to swab samples for COVID-19 testing.
The sample and the method the sample's collected by and the transport media is exactly the same for flu and RSV.
Afterwards, YKHC will send them back home to stay in quarantine until the test results return. If the person doesn't have a home, YKHC will then coordinate with the state on the next steps. Villages have their own triage line. Hodges says for people in villages to follow the normal routine there for now, but she says that can change once a case of coronavirus reaches the YK Delta. She remembers a time when the area had an outbreak of H1N1, also known as the swine flu. YKHC had many villages handling outbreaks.
So we already had a plan in place to identify villages who are at high risk, villages who are experiencing a surge in respiratory patients, and to daily check in with every single village to ask them about how many patients have you been seeing.
YKHC has sent instructions to village clinics to show residents how to make a water and bleach solution that will keep houses clean and the clinic clean, even if they lack access to running water. Meanwhile, the corporation is working on guidelines should an employee be infected and test positive.
So it would be really on a case-by-case basis who it is, who they've come in contact with, and then what our state partners want us to do.
Hodges says the YK Delta is already in the middle of an outbreak of influenza and RSV, a respiratory virus that infects children.
There are also a lot of other viruses that are making people sick right now. So what we want to do is make sure that we're not overreacting to a fever and a cough in our population, because it's really common this time of year, but also that we're not underreacting.
Hodges urges the public to check in daily to see the updated guidelines from the CDC. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schellenberger.
Next, in water utilities. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has advised people wash their hands often to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. but that's hard to do when you don't have water. Over the past few months, Bethel residents have taken to Facebook or KYUK's talk line to voice complaints about the city's hauled water and sewer services. Now, the Bethel City Council announces a special meeting this Tuesday for residents to, quote, share their ideas and concerns to improve the hauled utility service. Councilmember Alyssa Leary, who also serves on the Public Works Committee, organized the meeting.
We pay a premium for these services, and people are rightfully upset, but the drivers themselves are doing all they can.
Leary urges people to not direct their frustration at drivers. Instead, council members and city employees will listen to resident concerns and ideas Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in City Hall. Next, in Iditarod updates. This morning on the Iditarod Sled Dog Race, Thomas Warner is out on the Norton Sound ice approaching Koyuk. About 15 miles behind him is Brent Sass, followed by Jesse Royer, Aaron Burmeister, and others. There are more than a dozen teams out of Unalakleet this morning making their way along the coastline to the next official checkpoint in Koyuk. Yukon Kuskokwim mushers are back in the middle of the pack. Kaiser, who fought a stomach flu on the Yukon River and had to take additional rests, checked into the Unalakleet checkpoint at around 1 this morning, with Richie Deal a half hour behind. Kaiser left this morning around 7:45 a.m. Jessica Klaika left Caltag a bit after 11:30 Sunday night to take the overland route to Unalakleet. Back on the Yukon River checkpoint of Galena, Klaika got some advice from an old racer and friend about how to handle the changes with checkpoints and unfavorable weather conditions ahead. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes observed the collegial bond among the two mushers at very different stages in their race and in their lives.
As she feeds her team, Jessica Klaika is wet. It's snowing, but just warm enough that moisture melts on contact, soaking her bulky white outerwear and dampening her dogs. She's testing a new feeding routine to get them eating enough.
But yeah, they start, it seems like when it's wet out, they start to crave kibble. So I was gonna try this first. You get to do so many experimenting, trying to get all their calories in them.
Klaika's feeling disappointed. She took her 8-hour rest upriver in Ruby. By the time she set back out, the fresh, wet snow made for a slower-than-expected run. After finishing her dog chores, she sat down in the nearby community hall and wolfed down bowls of hot moose soup.
Sitting here kind of debating how long to wait before I take off again because it's going to be a slow trek to Nalato.
Sitting across from Klaika is Linwood Fiedler, whom she affectionately calls Boss.
I worked for him for 6 years in the summer.
Fiedler runs dog tours on a glacier outside of Juneau, and season after season, Klaika was one of his employees. Now he's doling out advice on how she should handle what is turning out to be an increasingly difficult Iditarod.
I would find the biggest garbage bag you can find and make a poncho out of that, by the way.
66-year-old Fiedler has run 25 Iditarods, finishing as high as second. He talks race tactics with the 30-year-old Klaika, particularly for the long run up the Norton Sound coast from Unalakleet to Koyuk, a run made all the longer by news that there won't be a checkpoint at Shaktulik.
What can be an extremely, extremely hostile environment. You just cannot underestimate how difficult that coast can be, the potential of it to be real bad. So I was giving some sage wisdom to Jess about potential places she might think about stopping, where she'd be a little protected from elements for a while and give the dogs a rest before taking out on the sea ice. Because once you do, you're pretty well committed. You know, there's no turning back, and there's going forwards can be pretty slow.
Fiedler says it's normal for mushers to share earned knowledge about the trail. And though she finished last year's race, Klaika is still quite new to the Iditarod, figuring out how to adapt her plans and her training to unpredictable conditions on the way to Nome.
I'm taking it one checkpoint at a time. I can't get it too much into goals right now.
For Fiedler, the race is over. His team got sick on the second day. Their appetites didn't recover, and each run diminished their reserves.
At this point, they've lost too much body weight. I'm uncomfortable with running a team in that condition, and this has turned into not an easy trail. So it's just time for us to go home, kind of lick our wounds and regroup for another year.
After he got to Galena, he scratched. Even as he's counseling Klaika, Fiedler's navigating his own distinct set of emotional circumstances. He doesn't regret ending his run, but that doesn't mean it's easy.
It was a decision I had to make. I mean, to me, it was very clear that to go forward was not in the best interest of the dogs. So, but it's hard. You work all winter, you know, for an event, and you have to pull the plug earlier than you wanted to. So it's just dealing with that. But it's one of those things that you know it's the right thing to do, you know, because it's not just you. It's family and friends that have rallied. But on the scale of things, this is a pretty small bump in the road. You know, there's bigger things to have a tear over. But at the moment, you know, it doesn't feel very good.
At the end of the day, Fiedler says, most Iditarod mushers are bound by a common purpose, a shared love of dogs, the land, and the race. So, of course, he'll tell Jessica Klaka about his special spot where she can duck out of the wind on the way to Koyuk. In Galena, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And finally, the Bethel Warriors lost the championship game of the 3A Western Conference Tournament in a close contest to the Barrow Whalers. The score was 57 Warriors, 62 Whalers. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.